For those of you who've been with us, we are in the fourth chapter of James. And for any of you who are unfamiliar, I consider James, the last couple of chapters, some of the most challenging scripture in all of the Bible.
Yep. And if you don't have a Bible, there's some over on the table over there. You can go grab one.
Yep.
Or use your phone.
Yep. Use your phone. Or just listen. Just hang out.
Whatever you want.
Yeah. So we're going to do the second half of the fourth chapter of James. And to give a tiny bit of setup for those of you who may not have been with us before, James, this is something some of you may not know. The reason we did the little name thing is that James is not actually the name of the person who wrote the book. Does anybody actually know the name of the person who did? I know, right? It messes with your head. Yeah, so James did not write it. We call it James, and we say it's written by James, but that wasn't his actual given name. Anybody know what his real name was? As Rod's Googling it right now. It was Jacob. James is not a name that was actually used in the Hebrew Greek time of the Bible. And so Jacob, it's the same person, but his name actually was Jacob. And it was the brother of, most scholars believe that it was the brother of Jesus, who did not have a belief in Jesus until after Jesus rose from the dead. And he had a post-raising from the dead encounter. Jacob slash James had that with Jesus and became a believer that his brother was the actual Son of God. I mean, that kind of like messes with your head, right? To think like someone you knew as a brother is now the Son of God and the way. And James is considered one of the earliest letters to ever be written. And so it is a man who has had a powerful experience in like the last decade of his life where everything has changed. And he is now writing to his fellow people of faith, the Jews, who are scattered amongst the nations, and also newly become Christians. And he's writing to them and going, let me sort some things out for you. And most of you know that the way I used to read James and the way that I was taught to read almost all of Scripture was that it is a how-to manual. Anybody read the Bible or was taught to read the Bible? Like, the Bible's a how-to manual. It's like how to live the Christian life. Anyone? Yeah, thank you. And I found myself struggling with that approach to Scripture because I found myself unable to do any of the how-tos. And even Paul said, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. Why is that? And then Paul has this amazing conversation through Hebrews and Romans and Galatians where he describes this relationship was something very special, and he calls it grace. And it is not grace as a thing, it's not grace as a concept, but it is actually grace as a person. It is the person of grace that he has met by the way of the Holy Spirit, that he is made able to come into all the goodness that Christ died for. And so, grace is this empowering presence in our lives that makes us able to see ourselves the way God sees us when he looks at us. And I challenge you, if that feels like, really, is that what that is? Go through and look up every passage on grace and see if Paul doesn't describe grace as a person. Because it was grace that stopped us from traveling here. It was grace that told us to go here. It was grace that empowered us here. And a concept can't do that. But the person of the Holy Spirit can. Amen. And so I think he had a revelation of who the Holy Spirit is for us, which is this person who comes and lives with us to show us who we really are. And that's what James is really trying to unlock, is not a how-to of the Christian life, but a who of the Christian life. Because wouldn't it be sad to live all of our lives with a name that we have, but misunderstand who we really are? Wouldn't it be a shame to have a name and never understand who we were made to be? And I think that's what James is trying to unlock, is not a how-to to live a standard. He's trying to unlock and show us who we really are. And nobody explains that better than my dear friend Francois. So if you want to explore that more, Francois du Toit from South Africa is a biblical scholar. And I think he does it the best. And he says, Scripture is really understood best when it is seen as a mirror reflecting to us who we really are and who God really is. It's not God himself. It is the thing that reflects to us and tells us who we are. So when we look at James that way, I think it unlocks some of the mysteries, and what is in here then becomes a help and a benefit, not a burden that we can't accomplish.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yay.
Yeah.
That just happened. I just love us. Thanks, babe. So.
It was really a lame high five, though.
It was. I totally missed it. I was trying to pretend that that didn't. It did it again. It's the angle. It is. It's so embarrassing. And we have that on video. So good. Okay. So, so good. Let's do this really quick. So as we set up James, what we were trying to help people see is that James is trying to unlock that there are two kingdoms on the earth. Because it was one of the earlier letters written to any of the believers, whether you were Jew or non-Jew, James is trying to really help you understand something. He's saying, hey, listen, by way of my brother, who I didn't believe until after he died and came back to life, I want you to realize that the kingdom of God, and his description of the kingdom of God, everybody in all throughout scripture, the real description of the kingdom of God is not heaven, where you go after you die, but it is the rule and reign of God's goodness on earth. So he says, the kingdom of heaven, there is a new rule happening in earth that is now possible because of Christ. And that is the kingdom of heaven. It is the rule of goodness on earth. How many of us would go, hey, you know what? There's some areas of my life. There's some areas of my relationships. There's some areas of my finance. There's some area of my work. There's some areas of my internal understanding where I would like the kingdom. I would like the rule and reign of heaven, the rule and reign of goodness to overtake what currently exists. Right? There's some spaces in our life where we say, I want the rule of goodness to overtake what currently exists. And that's what James is wanting to unlock for us. There is, in this world, another kingdom. And Jesus described it very clearly. He said, there is a prince by the power of the air. There is an adversary that is against us. And he has ruled over this world. And it is this world's system, or it is the world, or the kingdom of darkness. There's different phrases to describe that. And James is wanting to unlock that as we come into relationship with Christ, we are awakened into a whole new kingdom. And one of the best illustrations that I have for that is if you go and see an embassy, especially if you go to see a certain embassy of a wealthy country in a poor country, you will see poverty on one side of the wall and wealth on the other side. And you go, how can there be desert here and lush grass on the other side of a wall? And it is because of the wealth of one country, they actually own that land within that country. And their prosperity transforms the land that they own. And that's how the kingdom works, is the prosperity of God's goodness transforms the land of our lives, which is actually kind of why we're called desert outpouring, because the Lord said, I want you to look up in scripture what I do to deserts. And I didn't realize that he had 1,000 places where he said, I pour myself out, I transform, I create lushness. I overcome everything in the desert. And I realized that the word desert is really a description of an easily transformed place. So the deserts in our lives are the areas that are easily transformed. And God says, I will pour myself out. So what James is really getting at here is there is a kingdom of heaven, the rule and reign of goodness, that is overtaking the rule and reign of darkness. So let me show you how it works. Not how to do it, how it works. Got it? There's a total difference there. If you're trying to figure out how to do it, you're not operating in a kingdom that already won. And the cross makes no difference. The only thing that we get to come into is greater revelation of who we are, not greater revelation of how to do it. Yay! So, but it doesn't always sound that way from James. One, because the lens that most people have interpreted the original Greek is from a how-to-do-it standpoint. So that's one of the things that happens. And in fact, many of you know that there's many versions of your Bible where the notes will say, James is the perfect, you know, book on how to live the Christian life. But we don't have to learn how to live the Christian life. We get to awaken to our dominion and our partnership with a kingdom that already has overcome everything. And then that kingdom will release in us our own overcoming. And our own overcoming is what? This isn't the text, by the way. It is our identity. It's who he made us to be. It is the name that he put on us. We come into Christ. And he goes, now let me introduce you to the person you've never known you always were. Is my mic? We're good? Oh, him? Okay. Oh, he needs you. Yay! Hey, we're pretty good at this miming thing, but I'm not a genius. Well, anyway. Thank you. I'm a genius. Okay. So we left off at verse 11. I'm reading from King James here, the New King James Version. It says, do not speak evil of one another. He who speaks evil of a person and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. And in this case, there's only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? So I'm like, well, it just is telling me not to judge. Which, by the way, how many of you have tried not to judge people? And how successful are you at it? Right? Like you go, well, I stay away from the really bad stuff. I stay away from the gossip, the flat out, you know, rude stuff. The stuff that, like, once I'm an hour in, I realize, probably shouldn't be a part of this conversation. But the constant assessing of people that occurs every moment when you meet somebody, when you have a conversation, when they reveal something vulnerable, how do you get out? He's telling us you don't do it. Well, what good does that do when you constantly do it? Rob, thank you, right? Right? Thanks. I love you, CJ. So, I'm going to share with you a fun experience that we had in our house that kind of unlocked this for me, because I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand. Yes, of course, when you judge someone else, you're basically, you are setting aside the law and becoming a judge yourself. Right? Okay, so what? Well, good, just, and okay, and then God's the only one who's, you know, okay. Again, I'm still lost as to how to have this be different. So, of course, the Lord always uses these really crazy scenarios in our life to teach me really cool things. And so do you remember when we decided to just do a couple of tiny remodels in our bathroom? Right?
No.
Yeah, right? Okay, so we hired some guys to do just a couple of things. We just needed to have the faucets changed in our bathtub, the faucet changed in our shower. We're just changing out some fixtures. This is not like a major remodel. And then they needed to, like, remove the tile and put a few tiles back. And everything seemed to be going somewhat okay. It was, I mean, it was a little squirrely, right?
It was a little squirrely.
But when they went to go put the tile back, like, the tile was, like, lumpy. Like, it wasn't flush, and it wasn't even. And I was thinking, you know, I think it should look the way it looked, like, before you took the tile out. That's what I mean, I'm not trying to be an over-perfectionist, but, you know, the tile going up like this seemed odd to me. And so I, like, mentioned it to the work guy. And how many of you know work guys just love when housewives tell them how to do their job, right? And so I was like, I don't know, that just, you know, maybe we could get out a level. And the guy was like, it was almost like I had suggested he should shoot himself. And so I decided, you better go get that mic, right? So I decided I should not be in it. I'm going to go get my husband, right? So I get Greg.
Yeah, because I'm sitting in the casino working, and they don't realize I can do this. I don't want to do this.
That's why I hired you.
Yes. I don't care if this stuff gets done in the bathroom. She cares if this stuff gets done in the bathroom. So she needs to be made happy. I mean, that's the deal.
Right. And who is the boss?
You're the boss.
Right. Because he didn't care. He's like, you don't understand. The person you need to make happy is not me. Yeah. The person you need to make happy is me. Right? But they didn't know that. So anyway, so I said, well, you need to get a level. So he got a level that was like this big, you know, which, like, that's hard to span a space and tell whether or not something's level. And I went to get Greg's tools. And I went to hand it to him and I said, hey, here's a level. if you need one, I mean, and I'm trying to be like super polite, right? You can tell this is totally not going well. And he wouldn't even touch the level. And I said, well, you know, just, you know, here you go. And he's like, no, we're fine. And I'm like, it's not fine. I go, I just want that side of the tub to look the same as that tub. Because you want it to look the same? I'm like, yes, I do. I mean, in crazy me, but yeah, I do. He's like, really? Really, you know, I thought I would make it look better. And I'm like, I don't really know. I just want it to be consistently the same. And if you'll just take the level. And he would not take the level. And I realized I was offending this person. And I didn't know what to do. And so a couple weeks, well, actually, I kept thinking, the Lord has something in this for me. He has something in this for me because he does not have for me to humiliate other people about their work, number one. And he doesn't have for me to be unhappy with how work is being done. So what's really going on in this situation? Because I know that I have a spiritual victory here. I know that I do. So Lord, what is this all about? And he said, Ange, go back and look at James. Oh, really? And you read this and you go, well, okay, so I shouldn't judge the guy for putting on, you know, crooked tile? And he goes, no. This is about unlocking mysteries. Reading scripture is about partnering with the Holy Spirit and unlocking a mystery. That is the beauty of scripture, is that it can only be read in the place of relationship. Otherwise, it will be misunderstood and become legalism and become abusive. So in the place of relationship, I said, Holy Spirit, what are you talking about? And he said, what was it like when you handed the guy the level? And I said, it was like I was handing him a gun, like he didn't even want to touch it. And he said, why is that? And I said, because when he put the level on his own work, he would find that it was not good. And he said, that is what a judge does. A judge hands a person a level and says, let me assess you and find that you are not good. And he goes, who wants to touch that? Nobody wants to touch that. And I said, then what do you do? What do you do when things are subpar? What do you do when relationships are subpar? What do you do? And the Lord says, you need a new level. Because if you pick up the level in this world system, they will always find themselves lacking and missing and assessed. And you have become part of the judge that finds them missing and lacking. And I didn't make them that way. So if I didn't make them missing and lacking, what are we going to do? And I'm like, what do we do? And he says, you need a whole other level.
Yeah.
Right? And I said, okay, what's the other level? Do you know I meditated on that for like 5 days, but you probably already know. What's the other level?
Love.
So good. Almost exactly it. Christ. Christ is the other level. He is the one who pulls us all into Plum. He is the one who takes us hanging every wonky which way direction and says, let me show you how plumb and right you are. Let me pull you into level. Let me prove to you who you really are. And he said, he has the level of the law of love. Thanks, Mom. Genius. And I said, so how do I apply the law of love to these people? How do I get my tile straight and the law of love? So we worked that out. And I'd like to say, well, miraculously, they all of a sudden decided to like hang my tile straight. And that didn't happen. But I was on an adventure to now starting to apply to worldly situations, to situations that were practical and natural. How do I look at that person with Christ? How do I see them and call them, not up to a better standard, how do I see them as they truly are, so that they can see themselves as they truly are? Do you see how then you step out of being the judge and the assessor with a level that always proves to them they're lacking, and instead, I'm now partnering with Christ, who is always calling them up into their true identity. And so this passage changed completely. Because it said, oh, Ange, don't get caught being trapped, talking badly about other people. Because, Ange, if you get caught talking badly about someone else, and now I'm paraphrasing this very passage, right? Verse 11. And you find yourself in judgment of someone, whether you love them or they're a stranger, you have found yourself bound by darkness and this world system. And you have found yourself caught in a never-ending cycle of assessment. And then you are not someone who with Christ fulfills the law of love, but you have become someone who is caught in assessing. There is one person who you know who can bring people into plumb. And they are able to do this work. So don't find yourself usurping the one who wants to partner with you to call out people as they really are. Isn't that so good? Now, is that the only way to read this passage? Of course not. It's one gal's way in my house, living my simple life, hanging out with people trying to fix our bathroom. But that's the beauty of the partnership with the Holy Spirit in Scripture. He said, I'm now learning how to see people as they truly are. Yay! And then the next section, James is going, so see what he's doing? He's going, here's your partnership, here's your position. He's always trying to clarify and separate light and dark. He's trying to go, here's the kingdom of darkness, here's the kingdom of heaven, here's where you stand. So if you really want to understand James well, you have to understand his intention. And his intention is to clarify the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light, and where you stand in each. That's what he's doing. He's trying to give you and open up a mystery that has been hidden for people for so long. They didn't grow up in schools, you know, learning, hey, the kingdom of heaven has landed on earth and you're now a part of it. So we'll jump to the next one. This is back to King James Version. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, or spend a year here, or spend a year there, or we'll answer our phone whenever, you know, like it's all good, and we'll buy this or sell that, and we'll make a profit. It was so fun. Thanks. That was perfect timing. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life if it's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills this, we shall live and we'll do this or we'll do that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So I would read that and go, well, basically, you shouldn't really make plans on your own because it's really all in God's hands. And it's really about the Lord's will. And if you do think that you know what's going on, that's really boasting and that's really evil, and so you really shouldn't do that. And it's it. Anyone kind of like that's kind of where they landed on this passage? Really? Just Jill and me, that's it? Okay, thanks, Tom. Thank you! Tom finally agreed with you. This was a victory, yay! Tom and I never agree on where we landed on Scripture. I love it. So, have any of you ever, like, texted somebody something? I mean, we were having a conversation about this. My father-in-law, he goes, I don't really love texting. I'm like, I totally get it. Sometimes I do it because I really need to. Because I just want to talk to the person. Don't you agree? Because sometimes you text somebody and you realize, like, they did not understand what you were saying at all.
Nope.
Right?
It takes longer.
And it takes longer, right? So I remember being in a group text. And my niece was texting something to a group, asked a question, and then she said something. And the person text misunderstood because there was autocorrect. And so the word was, you know, being read one way. And so she responded, my niece, not realizing that her text had been autocorrected, responded to what the person said and said, no, really, I mean. And then she autocorrected the wrong word again. And it went back and forth 5 times. I had to pull over and go, hey, your phone is auto-correcting to the incorrect word. What you think you're saying is this. What they're hearing you say is this. You're welcome. And they both were like, oh, gotcha, thanks, that's good. We solved it. And I realized that that's a lot of what happens when we read Scripture. right? Sometimes there's an autocorrect. Sometimes something that's written, we read it one way, and we just get to go to the source of the person who wrote the text and go, what did you mean when you said this? Right? Just call them up directly and go, what did you mean when you said this? Isn't that fun? Like, yay, we get to do that. So I called up the Lord and I go, okay, I don't understand this. And this is what's so good. He said, Ange, this isn't about trying to be humble and not owning any plans. He said, this is about the kind of thing where don't make your plans based on this world system. Right? Don't make your plans based on what's happening in this world system. Because when you do, you will find that you are caught in the evil of this world system and the consequences of it. But allow yourself to look at all of this world system that you are in your life and allow the kingdom of goodness and me to inform you about your future. And that is when you will find yourself making much better decisions and not caught in the consequences of this world system. So don't say, I'm going to make this profit on this, or I'm going to do this and make this profit on that, because the real estate markets are up. Because he goes, when you make your plans based on this world system, you get what this world system gives you. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. There's a word for it. It's called luck. He goes, but there is a much better way. Would you like to learn the much better way? And he said, the much better way is connecting with your Father who loves you, who is a God of abundance, who overcomes this world system. Isn't that so much better? Yes. So when James is writing, he's always writing going, this world system, the kingdom of heaven, where you stand. And that's how this can be understood in a much more helpful and encouraging way. So let me just read to you those little couple of verses, the way that Francois has, who's a beautiful biblical scholar. So good. He says, hey, if you got your planner, and you can already taste the profits of your business and your ventures and your big travel and your trade from city to city, but you may not have a handle on tomorrow. Your life is like a mist. So my encouragement is to you to wrap up all your plans and your conversations and get this in the delightful resolve of God. Put all of your plans, all of your future in the delightful resolve of God. Don't let your plans exclude God and his opinion, because you will find that all of your labors will be filled with, and this is the definition of sin that's in this particular passage. It's often interpreted as sin, and it is this: annoyance, hardship, and labor. Annoyance, hardship, and labor is the literal definition of that translation of sin. And don't turn a blind eye to the opportunity to do the good that is in your character. And the word there, when it's saying that, like to sin, when it's mentioned in this particular part of James, is the word hamartia. I don't even know how to pronounce it exactly, but the ha, I love this study. Means to, where something comes from, and the meros means like lacking form, like it's where we get merit. So it would mean without merit. So don't find yourself caught in labor that doesn't produce merit, that is lacking the form from which you come from. So we got to learn how to love people in the midst of commerce, did we not? Our patio furniture is a testament, you can just see by the look on Greg's face, is a testament to learning how to step out of this world system and to step into the plans and the goodness of God. And so when we had furniture that showed up that wasn't what we ordered and totally not what we wanted and we weren't sure what to do and the people wouldn't return our phone calls for 3 weeks because I think they were terrified that they had delivered stuff that wasn't what we ordered. And I wanted to cancel the order and not do business with them anymore. But I asked the Lord, what do you have to say instead? And he said, what I'd love for you to do is go down to the patio store owner and I'd like you to give her two gifts. I'd like you to give her a plant and some candy. And I was like, really? Because I'm gonna like go give a gift to the person who just like delivered this thing and now I won't return my phone call. And he goes, yeah, that's the way of the kingdom in this particular situation. And so I went to the store and I said, what candy should we get? I was looking at really nice candy and he said Reese's Pieces. I'm like, that's not, like, it's like wax, you know, like, it's wax coated in a candy shell. Like, it's not...
It tastes good. I'm a fan of Reese's. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm like, I'm going to give this person Reese's Pieces? Are you kidding me? But I was like, okay. And so then the plant that I felt like the Lord wanted to give her was hideously ugly and had a really ugly bow on it. And I'm like, I can't do it. So I bought the really pretty roses instead. But I did buy her the Reese's Pieces. And when I walked in, she burst into tears. Because she'd been so afraid that I was going to yell at her like so many of her other clients do. And she looked at the roses, she goes, oh, thank you. And she set them over and I went, they meant nothing to her. Like, I bought the wrong flowers. But then I had the Reese's Pieces. She goes, Reese's Pieces? I love Reese's Pieces. Those are my favorite candy when I was a kid. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you bought me Reese's Pieces. Like, and she said, I feel so loved. And I went, oh, is there any circumstance in my life where God isn't giving me an opportunity to overcome lack with good? And so when that situation with the patio furniture went on and on, because her business was set up in such a way that they just kept delivering the wrong stuff, sewed to the wrong stuff and the wrong model with the wrong thing. And it went on. I mean, it took a year to get our patio furniture. Jill knows it's longer than a year. And you just are like, we could build a house in the length of time it took us to get some patio furniture. And I remember asking the Lord, what is really going on here? Because I am feeling like abused in this situation. I feel like my time is being wasted. I feel like this person's time is being wasted. Where is my opportunity to overcome? And do you know what he said? Hey, if you learn how to not assess with this world system standards, I'll show you the secrets of the kingdom. And the secrets of the kingdom are that this woman who owns this business is being ruled by this business like an abusive step-parent and who she can never please. That is what this business is doing to her, is it is abusing her and telling her she can never please anyone. And I said, then how do I overcome? And he said, you be the one client who will never be displeased. Be the one client who will never be displeased. So Greg and I said yes. And we just stayed in this and we kept, and she said to us at the end of the thing, you are the only person who has never yelled at me. You are the only person who has ever treated me with dignity. And I'm so sorry that I've gotten things wrong, but I can't tell you how loved I feel in the process because you're the only clients where I know no matter what, when I show up, that you're going to be happy with what I've done. And she said, and in that process, she found out that we just loved God. She didn't know really anything more than that. And she said, I didn't know what I felt about God, but I feel the love of God when I'm around you. So I asked the Lord, what do you want to do about this business? And he goes, I want her to find a true parent. I said, well, what do I do about that? And he goes, just pray for her to find her true parent, a true parent that won't abuse her. So that's what I prayed. I just said, Lord, I pray that she find a true parent that won't abuse her. And the next day she called me and she said, I quit this business. And I sold it back to the owner, and I'm going to take another job. And we're like, whoa, we didn't know that was what was going to happen, and we're not sure if we're still going to get our patio furniture, but good for you. Yay! Do you see how we're starting to release the kingdom of heaven in every circumstance and situation? Like, that's the fun that we get to do, because we get to take it for a test spin and see, does my agreement with God really overcome anybody else's agreement with this world system? And does it release goodness, not just for myself, but for everyone in the situation? And that, I think, is the beauty of James.
Yeah. Can you say that last thing more? Does my agreement with God
My agreement with God overcomes any other agreement with this world system. And take it for a spin. Don't believe me. Try it out. Mm-hmm. See if God will give you a greater agreement with him and take it for a spin. And this room is filled with people who've tried it and said, wow, okay, things shifted.
And here's a little teaser. So my wife got to start creating some of our tables. We have really great tile people.
That's right.
And spend some time with them. Save their baby from drowning in a pool.
Yeah.
So stuff just goes on and on.
When they messed up our tables and they came in not right, we asked if there was any way that we could do something about it because they were sloping and the glasses were sloping. And so they said yes, and I got to go down with my kids and make tables, and I did. I got to jump in a swimming pool and fish the kid out of the swimming. Yeah, so that was fun. That was an extra win.
So there's that.
And I just, save a life. So who knew? I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Yay! Thanks for remembering, babe. I love you so much. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna let the kids in. But we're going to take like just a couple of minutes before we do. We're going to do our fun practice like we do with CJ. CJ, you were awesome, by the way. She was, you did raise the roof for sure. But before we do that, we're just going to take a couple minutes and take a card out of the bucket and grab a pen and write down on your card what you feel like God is wanting to say to you today.
Yep.
What is the thing that God is wanting to just bless you with, love on you with, encourage you with? And then
we're not collecting these and reading them out loud.
Yeah, no. This is just for you. And then if you want to share, you're welcome to share. And then, Eli, I know you're going to write on your card, but if you would go tell your mama. You already wrote? Of course you did. Tell her that we need 8 minutes. 8 minutes and they can come in.
Can you repeat it one more time? What we're supposed to do?
Yeah, what do you think God wants? What do you think? What is God saying to you today? So you just take a moment. And I have a lot of people who say, how do you do that? And I had never even thought about it. And so I just sit for a moment and I just quietly let my mind quiet. And then I go, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? What was either in this message or has nothing to do with this message that you want, that you want to say to me today?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago when we looked at all the ways that God was trying to communicate. Describe the Bible, dozens and dozens of these different ways that we wrote on the board and filled this whole thing up.
With the gazillion ways that God
likes
to talk
to us. God is trying to communicate and talk to us.
Yeah.
It's on now.
Is it on now? Comfortable. Okay, does anyone want to share? What is God saying to you right now? That's it.
That's it.
Or if you're like, I hear nothing, I hear crickets, because that happened for me most of my life, and you're like, I have no idea, then here's the other thing you can write on your card, what you felt like blessed you the most in the message.
And if you want to do that, just draw a stick figure so people think you're actually writing something down that's important,
right.
And that's good too.
There you go. Make your grocery list, that's productive. Okay.
Use your time the way you need to.
Lindsay's going to share. She's going to actually share something. Go ahead.
When that verse was talking about making plans and what are we going to do and whatever, a lot of times with our friends, there's like a lot of groupthink about what we should be doing or where we should be investing our time or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I felt like my aha from that is not looking around to other people to be your guide.
Mm-hmm.
That you're focused on what God's doing uniquely for you.
Yeah.
And what's God doing uniquely for them.
Yeah.
And that we're not, we're not to look to other people. It looks good. It doesn't seem like the kingdom of darkness, but it is the world system. that you look to other people as your guide of what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. That was a big.
Yeah, like we should have signs for this. It'd be good for us to have signs. But then the Lord says, let me do this other thing and have people miraculously show up in our parking lot and decide to come in and join us. Like, really? Did that just happen? Astonishingly and amazing that sometimes the Lord wants to replace a natural solution with a miracle. And sometimes he just wants to create a really great natural solution. But if we don't even think to go, okay, Lord, what are you doing to increase the rule and reign of goodness in my life? It's just a simple question. What are you doing to increase the rule and reign of goodness in my life? That's it. It opens up the possibilities, I think, in the fun adventure. Yes, it did.
I think it's really difficult to listen. I think it's really hard for most people to listen or even think about wanting to listen or even wanting to ask questions. Because we're so bombarded with things coming at us, information coming at us.
Yeah.
And a lot of people can't even sit for a minute and just think. They're on their phone, their TV's on, the radio's on, whatever. So that's a thing that I've really been paying attention to the last few weeks is just sit in silence and listen.
Yeah. That's really good. How many of you have increased your capacity to listen in the last year? Right?
Yeah. It takes practice.
It's like it's something that you build over time. That's really good. Thanks for that. That was really beautiful. Who else wants to? Yes.
I found very interesting what you had said about verse 11. Because I look at it, I've always looked at it like gossip and this kind of stuff. And when you said that it's the constant assessing of people, that hit me very hard because I view it from this way. We're living past because we have met previous people, so it triggers something when we meet new people, and it already colors how we feel about it. So we live past, which is kingdom of darkness, to present, and it affects our ability then to intermingle with people, to love them the way we should. So that impressed me very much, that we need to be very careful when we meet someone that we don't try to figure out who they are right away, but let the Lord reveal it.
Oh, that's so good. Woo! Yeah, that was very good. Thank you. Yeah, good. Glad.
A contractor story, which I was like kind of proud of myself because this contractor did this project and he got drywall dust all over my house. It was on my dog. It was everywhere. And I was just like inside shaking. But I'm like, no, I'm going to come up. Oh, it's okay. I'll help you clean it up. Oh, I was, you know what? I was just, and I was inside, just wanted to kick him. I was so upset. And so I was proud of myself because when it was all over, I never said anything bad. But I didn't bless him. I didn't. So when I heard your story, I'm like, wow, I didn't even listen to the Lord. I was just trying to be nice.
Right.
So I feel like, wow, there's so much more than being nice.
Yes.
You know what? I could have really.
It's that dissonance between behavior and performance and really partnering with the source. That brings us,
So now I see that whole of when the next time an adventure like that happens, which we never have, I gotta go a little deeper.
That's good.
Go deeper.
Thanks for being vulnerable on that. That's really good. I think Mike has something he wanted to share. That's good. Thanks.
So, the thing that I wrote down that the Lord was trying to tell me, and maybe for many of us here, I wrote down, where is there darkness in the midst of the thing that I have given to you as a blessing for your life? And it got me thinking about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven and the fact that they sometimes lay on top of each other. And when you started speaking, you were talking about desert outpouring, welcome, and all that. You said that the desert is an easily transformed place. It reminded me of a time when I was in an airplane, military airplane, flying over Egypt, and we were flying low, and we were flying right over the can easily transform a place, but the desert doesn't convert itself. Right? The river of living water is what converts the desert.
Yeah.
And you can be in the desert and go, I sure would like to grow some stuff, and you're not the source of the growth. Mm-hmm. And so you either find yourself in the source of the growth, right, or it finds you. But I also got close when I was there. We'd been flying around there, and I got close to the river. And this is what I'm talking about, that where they lay on top of each other. Because when I looked at the river, I saw all this growth, and it seemingly was alive. But way upstream, I noticed that there was a horse that had died and was laying in the river. Mm-hmm. And down from that horse was a woman who was washing her clothes for her family in the river. And down from both of those was a woman who was washing the family's vegetables for their dinner in the river. So there's death nearby, the things that the Lord has intended for your good, and may even be functioning inside of the things that he's intended for a blessing. And so it got me thinking, where is there darkness in the midst of the thing that he intended for your good? Because the river can be everything to you, or it can be a partial thing to you. There can be death looming in things that you've invited in, that you've entertained, you let your guard down on, or whatever. And those things are there around the river, and even at times in the river. And if you don't weed them out, at some point, those people who are washing their vegetables, it's going to poison their family, and they physically will die. So do we have physical, or do we have spiritual times when we literally just get choked out by the very thing that was supposed to bless us?
I want to encourage you that the good news is that the Lord has an aerial view, and it is up to him to awaken us to these things, so we don't have to worry about it. We can just ask him, and he'll reveal it. So I think that's a really good encouragement, and I thank you for that. And just go, hey, Lord, do you have something that you want to awaken me to that I was unaware of? Because you have this aerial view, and it's not for me to figure it out. It's not for me to find it out. It's not for me to track up river. Because, by the way, we're the river. We don't just have the river. He says there's from the foam flowing a river, and then you are the river. He goes, I dig deep wells, and by the way, you are the wells. So he has made in us to be a purifying system, that when anything comes in contact with us, we purify it by our very life. He means for us to be the sanctification of. So don't worry. Go, oh, I meant to transform this. I meant to shift this. And the Lord's going to awaken me to it and make me aware of it. So that is so good. And if I can just share a really quick thing about Mike, this is so good. Mike, Jeanette and I met on Facebook. I mean, this is the coolness of technology, and the Lord totally meant for us to meet and connect. And Mike and Jennifer, did I say Jennifer? What is it? Oh, sorry, Jeanette sitting in front of you. But Jennifer, sorry. Jennifer is standing up the same way. So they came in to service a couple weeks ago, and Mike just came with his wife. He had no idea where he was coming, and he said, you know, I got this really cool vision maybe a month ago, and he goes, of a sword in October, of a sword going in the, October when we start, oh, crazy. Anyway, of a sword going in the desert and water pouring out, and he goes, it was a really cool, crazy vision. And he goes, I asked the Lord, what does that mean? And he goes, there's like an outpouring happening in the desert. He goes, do you know that there's an outpouring happening in the desert? Did you know that? And I'm saying, did you not know that that is our name? But I didn't say that because I thought, surely he knows that's our name. So I asked Jennifer and I go, didn't he know the name? And she goes, oh, he didn't know the name. It was so cool. So he shows up and he goes, do you know that you're a part of this. You're a part of an outpouring in the desert. Did you know you're a part of an outpouring in the desert? He goes, this place here, it's going to be packed. And he goes, I don't know if we're going to have room for the tables. And he goes, but this is a part of an outpouring that God's doing in the desert. Did you know that? How cool is that? Love you. So thanks, Mike.